Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Home-Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, well, well. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good Sunday morning. Here on Sunday, September the 17th. Thank you for another day, another prosperous day, a great day. Glad to open my eyes up this morning and be able to see the world one more day. Today's program, we're going to talk about sales closing, how to close a sale, sales techniques for closing. Hopefully we give you some information today that really helps you with your closing in terms of what you need to do when you're out there and you're prospecting someone. Now it's time for the appointment and you want to be able to seal the deal, close the deal. The first thing is what you need to do is you need to see yourself as, I know you've heard the saying, always be closing. Well, I got another success coach by the name of John D. LeMenn, and John D. LeMenn said you should always be opening. Always be opening, because what you want to do is you want to build long-term relationships. I focus on that a lot in my business, building long-term relationships. So that way you have, I'm not just trying to close a sale, but ultimately also make a new friend or connect with somebody beyond the sales process. So the first thing is in selling, is you got to have a positive attitude. They say attitude is everything. Well, it is. I mean, you got to have a positive attitude. I remember last week I had an appointment coming up. I said in my mind, this is going to close today. See, my attitude was this was going to get closed, and I know what I need to do to close the deal. I had provided client with the information that they needed. Now I had to do was to get them to pay for it. And I was able to do that, and they paid for what they needed to pay for. But it all started with my attitude. See, it started with my attitude. You got to have a positive attitude. See, so the first thing is, in order to close more sales, you simply must condition yourself to believe you will close more sales. Call it positive thinking, or call it confidence, or call it self-esteem. You must enter every sales interview feeling no buyer was ever born who could refuse to buy from me. See, and when you take that attitude of you're looking to build a long-term relationship, which I have been able to do with a lot of my clients. I have long-term relationships, so they're repeat customers. They come back each year for to receive services as far as help with their taxes. And so I can sort of just go ahead and count them in my yearly budget, because I know to a certain extent who's going to do what. And I have to position myself to be able to deliver for them each year. So it all starts though with the attitude. Next is you got to see yourself as a champion and act like a champion. Champions don't always win, but they win often enough to be champions. to seldom discouraged and never whipped. See, so you want to do is see yourself as a champion. See, and when you see yourself as a champion, then you will carry yourself as a champion. This is important because all of this deals with your self-image, your self-concept of who you are, how you see yourself. If you doubt yourself, the prospect will see right through that, and you ain't closing nothing. You're not going to be able to make anything happen with that prospect. So now that you got your attitude right, we got to start with building a foundation. See, you're talking to a prospect. You mastered your presentation. You delivered it impressively without a hitch. You know all about your product or service. But does your prospect? The buyer may not possess strong intellect, but may be unable to juggle new facts, especially about technical processes. Maybe you aren't getting through to the prospect at all. You got to be able to make sure you have a strong foundation. In addition to the proper attitude, you need to put a foundation under every sale. This means making sure your customer understands precisely what you are saying. So you got to make sure that the customer understands precisely what you're saying. You don't ask them, do they understand? Because the person's not going to tell you, but no, I don't understand. I don't get it. Person's not going to tell you that because they don't want to sound ignorant. So you have to go through understanding their body language and other stuff to make sure they understand precisely what you're saying. You might have to repeat something one or two times. You might ask them to repeat back to you what you said. You might say, do you see how product works? And you might ask them, say, what is the first thing you need to do to make sure they understood what it is that you're sharing with them? And some things are very easy. It's like we have a product that we give away that allows people to save on their travel. The easiest way to get the prospect to understand that product is to take them on a test drive. What is a test drive? A test drive is to walk them through the product so they can see how to use it. And hopefully with them seeing how to use it, they'll understand how to use it and will go on to become a good customer and use the product. You got to fit your presentation to fix understanding. And that's why we do a test drive with this one product. It's because as long as they're the slightest misunderstanding, you're not going to close them. No one buys uncertainty. Make everything clear in words, pictures, diagrams, figures. Ask questions. Make every presentation premier-like. What's the hazard of not putting the closing foundation under your sale? You lose orders and don't know why. Rarely will a customer admit to being dumb, uncomprehensive, or unable to understand. Not only will pride prevent these confessions, the buyer may not know these things in the first place. So it's your job to make sure that the prospect cannot misunderstand. Remember, combat the general's motto, whatever can be misunderstood will be misunderstood. Every presentation should be in the language primers used by 5 and 6 year olds. Everything simple. Everything in one syllable words when possible. Excuse me. Clear language is the language which carries the most conviction. The only language the average prospect understands at all. He said, how foolish to believe a person merely hearing your sales talk, which bristles perhaps with technical trade. Excuse me. technical and trade terms will understand it as well as you. You have been over it 1,000 times. Try your presentation out on uninformed persons. Use young people between the age of 14 and 20. Your sales talk to them, noting their expressions. Question if they understood every word. If you find a cloudy expression, stop right there. He know he wasn't. You know you're not getting through. Only when his talk sailed along and every person understood can the salesman know his prospects would. Does building a such foundation seem like a lot of trouble? It is, but it makes sales. What else matters? During your talk, before you close, summarize what you have already told the customer. You said it, he heard it, repeat it. Bring your entire talk into focus so there's no misunderstanding anywhere. All successful communicators, from prophets to trial lawyers, go to great lengths to get complete understanding. They agree with the Apostle Paul in his epistle in Corinthians. I would rather speak 5 words with understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So you got to make sure that people understand. Next is you want to use language as a weapon. Experienced closers are always expert users of language. Words are your stock in trade in addition to your real product, of course. When you know and draw a variety of inventory of language, you're way out in front of other salespeople who won't take the trouble to collect and polish words. So you want to make sure your language that you use is one, is plain, is simple, and that you find how to use words to drive home points for your prospect to understand. Very, very important. Check for clarity. Make sure the prospect understands everything. Ask, have I made everything clear to you, Mr. or Mrs. Robinson? Is there any other information I can give you, Mr. Mrs. Curl? If you get assurance the prospect understands everything, move ahead. But don't be too sure even then. Keep fishing for omissions that indicate some phase of your explanation hasn't been thoroughly cleared. Don't try to close until you're sure the prospect does understand. Summarizing your vantage points is an abundantly clear short sentence. The great salesman Theodore F. McManus was responsible for selling hundreds of millions of dollars worth of automobiles. McManus wants you to take this test. Can you summarize the advantages to your prospect in one short, simple, crystal clear, convincing sentence? When you can do this, you have a background for closing more sales. Like doctors, salespeople may vary their mistakes in monthly or weekly averages, but mail order advertising is either a success or failure on record. Look at the famous money-making ad headlines that have constantly sold products and services over the years. It's usually exercise in setting benefits in one sentence. The secret of making people like you. 2, a little mistake that cost a farmer $3,000 a year. How a new discovery makes a plain girl beautiful. Do you make these mistakes in English? Whoever heard of a woman losing weight and enjoying 3 delicious meals at the same time? Another woman is waiting for every man, and she's too short to have morning mouth. Too smart to have morning mouth. They laugh when I sit down at the piano, but not when I started to play. No more back-breaking garden chores for me, yet ours is now the showplace of the neighborhood. Imagine me holding the audience spellbound for 30 minutes. It's a shame for you not to make good money when these men do it so easily. Wonderful 2-year trips were fully paid, but only those with imagination can take. Former barber earns $8,000 in 4 months as real estate specialist. All of these type of one-sentence headlines is usually what attracts attention to people. So, can you summarize your product or service or benefit in a sentence as dramatic and as compelling If not, better start working on it. Dramatic benefit sentences, close sales. Make sure you can tell a complete story to every prospect and customer. Here's where many salespeople fail. They simply don't make the prospect understand the basic advantages of buying. It's so easy for you, living with the presentation and giving it 20 times a day, to acquire contempt from some of the simple things you tell your customers. Anybody can see this product will do such and such a thing, you say. Why insult the intelligence of a customer by repeating such simple stuff? So little by little, you drop out essential information. You're understanding it and therefore conclude your customers understand it. This is a fatal error. You must stick to basics. You must summarize. Measure your presentation against this closing wrap-up. Here's an example. Now, Mr. Britton, I know you realize from statements I've already made that this product will save you a considerable amount of money, conserve a great deal of your time, and eliminate much unnecessary work. I prove what it has done for many of our users. The facts and the figures I cited prove no expense has been spared, and assuring the quality of this product is what you would naturally expect from a well-known firm like ours. But I also like you to picture in your mind why it is so important for you to enjoy the immediate advantages of this product. Surely the savings of $1,000 a year means as much to you as it does to those companies I mentioned. Of course, saving an hour a day is probably even more worthwhile to you because of your busy schedule. I'm sure you have many productive things to do with extra time each day. That's why it's very much to your advantage to accept this opportunity at once. Another reason why immediate action is attractive at present, our company is offering a special discount. That is a close that this person had. Again, reminding the person that what they have to offer is going to save them a considerable amount of money, going to save them some time, and eliminate unnecessary work. And he said, surely saving $1,000 a year means as much to you as it does to those companies I mentioned. And we're offering a special discount. If you're not being that basic in your closing summation, you're not being fundamental enough to become a champion closer. You want to do that. Next, you want to focus on why planned talk is best. Organized sales talk is more effective than sporadic talk. Set sales talk must be worked out beforehand, rehearsed, and practiced until it includes everything the prospect needs to know. When you tell a complete story, closing the sales becomes a perfectly natural and almost automatic last step. Hard closing is usually unnecessary if the prospect thoroughly understands. See, when people really understand, they close themselves. They will close themselves. So it's important that you have organized sales talk, which means get in front of a mirror, practice your presentation. Get in front of a mirror, practice your presentation. Get on some type of device, record. Some type of device and record your presentation and listen to your presentation so you can hear how you sound. See, because we need to know how we sound. You could think you sounded fine because you're speaking, but you might not be hearing what you're saying. Okay, so it's important that you have planned sales talk is best in terms of being able to help you with closing the sale, because you want to be able to tell a complete story, and then when you can, closing the sale becomes a perfectly natural and almost automatic last step. So I share a couple stories with you. As you know, this is Home-Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio, and one of the things that we champion is showing people how to take advantage of the home-based business activity and the tax write-offs that come with it. So, I'll tell stories like I had a client last year and the year before who took and came on the last quarter of the year, like the show that I did last Sunday. The fourth quarter of the year is a great time to start a home-based business. Why? Because you can take advantage of the last quarter of tax breaks and tax advantages and tax write-offs that will enable you to get a larger return. So I had a person that do that 1 year, and the difference in their tax return was $4,000 more than it would have been if they hadn't came into the home-based business. So they got their money back, which at the time was $250 that they invested to come into the business. They got that back and $3,750 more above what they initially invested. That's a good story. It helped with closing other people during this fourth quarter as I'm pushing through in terms of my business, because I can share a story with them, see how in a short window they could end up with some extra money. And this works with people that have, again, as I did in the radio show, people that have taxable income. People that have taxable income and can leverage a home-based business against their taxable income to reduce their tax liability. That is a great story that I love to tell. Equally important with telling stories is establishing your prospect's belief level. Conviction, a belief that what your product or service you're offering them, what you say it can do, that it can actually do. And once you do that, then this is the part that really takes off. Then you create want. The client wants it. You know, when the client wants it, you have to learn how to get out of the way. The client might say, okay, you know, I've heard everything. How much is it going to cost me? And they ask that kind of question. You do a quick summation, and you ask for the credit card, the debit card, or the check. You don't, when they say they want it, it's time for you to be quiet, because they're going to tell you why they want it. You know, if they don't, you can ask them. Mr. Jones, great. Could you tell me two reasons why you want to purchase our product so that I can make sure that I understand? And so you're reversing it. You want to make sure that you understand what it is that they see in the service or the product, so you can make sure, you don't have to tell them this, but the way you can make sure that they're buying it for the right reason. Okay, what we want to do now is talk about and go through some stories here. A lot of you probably heard of Mary Kay Ash, who is the chairman of Mary Kay Cosmetics Incorporated, a Dallas-based direct-to-consumer selling company. Her company reports more than $200 million in sales each year. Mary Kay's entire career is a tribute to her positive thinking, her knowledge of herself, and her sense of humor about herself. She hates to see human potential undeveloped. In every group, there are, and this is key, we need to understand this. In every group, there are, one, people who make things happen, two, those who watch things happen, three, people who wonder what happened, and four, those who don't know anything happened. Again, I'm going to repeat that. In every group, there are people who make things happen, those who watch things happen, people who wonder what happened, and those who don't know anything happened. Mary Kay says, many of us die with our music unplayed. She says, my mother, who worked from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. to support us, always said, honey, you can do anything in this world you want to do. The adage became part of my life. Many years ago, Mary Kay needed a job that allowed her to support three children and still be at home part of the time. She started selling Stanley products on the home party plans. At the end of my third week, I was averaging $7 in sales per home party, she relates. At that time, we gave away a complimentary $4.99 mop and duster when we entered the hostess home. So you can see I was operating dreadfully in the rear. Mary Kay heard about a Stanley sales convention in Dallas. She borrowed the money to attend. I converted my sample case into a suitcase, she recalls. I took along a box of crackers and a pound of cheese. I had no extra money for food. I also put on a hat people had laughed at 10 years. On the train to Dallas, the women sang Stanley songs. Mary Kay was embarrassed. She pretended she wasn't a part of the group. At the hotel, when the other woman decided to go out for dinner, she said, "Excuse me, there's something I need to do in my room." She go to her room and eat cheese and crackers. At the convention, she watched them crown a saleswoman queen and gave her an alligator bag. She decided on the spot that's where she wanted to be next year. She marched up to Stanley Beveridge, the company president, and said, "Mr. Beveridge, next year I'm going to be queen." He looked her straight in the eye and said, "Somehow I think you will." The next year she was queen. "You need the right mental attitude," Mary Kay says. "If you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you're right. I know it's an old idea, but it's great. If you act enthusiastic, you will become enthusiastic. At first, you fake it, but then it happens. The bumblebee's body, according to aerodynamics, is too heavy to fly," she relates. "The wings are too weak. But the bumblebee doesn't know it and goes right on flying." What a wonderful symbol for salespeople who don't know they can fly and who do, she says. Everyone must develop a goal. Each of us possess infinitely more talent than we ever use, she believes. Whether you vividly imagine, inherently desire, sincerely believe, and enthusiastically act on, must inevitably come to pass, she says. When you want to do something, you don't know how, start anyhow, and the pieces fall into place, Mary Kay believes. Good closers are activists, she reminds you. One of the planes of hesitation bleach the bones of countless thousands who, on the threshold of victory, hesitate, and while hesitating, die. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. It's a lesson from Mary Kay Ash. Positive attitude, don't hesitate, and, you know, whatever you got to do, start it anyhow. So, okay, talk success. Your speech is part of your appearance. Keep your talk pleasant. Be cheerful. Deliver good news. Create a positive climate on which people can depend. Don't be over anxious. You're not anxious to close a deal, so don't talk like it. You are the prospect's able, knowledgeable, and professional counselor. You are retained by him or her to handle the technical, financial, and legal aspects of the transaction. Know your voice. You sound differently to others than you do to yourself. A tape recorder will prove it. A monotonous tone with words spaced like pickets in a fence will lose attention. Watch the last word of each sentence. Keep it up. One of Los Angeles' most successful salespersons has been practicing voice exercises for years. He tapes his own voice, listens critically to the playback, and works on developing a clear, interesting voice. It pays him very well. Your speech is part of your appearance. It's yours up to stuff. So make sure, again, in terms of your speech, that is part of your appearance, of what you do and how you do what you do. And so that's very, very, very important. Knowing that you know what you need to know. Okay, it's important. All of us have been in situations where we were learning a new activity, and just as we thought we were ready to play or win, someone dashes our confidence with a rule or move from out of nowhere. It happens in sports, in cards, games, in life in general, in sales, your income, your emotional health, and a host of other things ride on your successful ability to sell. Yes, it does take time, and it's a continuous process, but there are no excuses for not knowing the general parameters of the profession. In other words, a salesperson should be attuned to the specific he or she is eventually expected to master in order to achieve a level of expertise. Clearly, he or she will have to know how to do more than present a product and handle objections, although they are certainly important. A salesperson who desires success should constantly seek information in at least seven areas, and they are as follows. Knowing how to sell. What steps should be taken between the time you meet someone and the time he or she pays for the product? Knowing the company you represent. What promises can you make to the customer based on the policies of the firm you work, products you sell? What reason does anyone have to buy the product or service that you provide? How will any or all of these products benefit the customer? Knowing the industry of which your product or service is a part of, what new developments are occurring or will soon occur in your industry that make this current purchase a wise or poor investment? As a salesperson, new industry developments allow you to offer better products and services and to make a greater income. Knowing your competitors, how is this product better or cheaper than a similar product down the street? Knowing your customer market, to be a good salesperson, you have to be able to put yourself in the shoes of the customer. The more capable you are doing that, the more the customer will be able to relate to and count on you for advice and guidance. And number seven, knowing how to finance the products and services. One of the major reasons why people don't buy things is because no one explains how they can afford them. The more ways a salesman can show customers how to afford, own, obtain items they want, the more sales person will make. One of the reasons why doctors, lawyers, and other professionals are admired is because of the great amount of information they have to study and retain. If you study seven areas outlined above, you will be challenged to retain a lot of significant information. If you proceed in sales without knowing what you are eventually expected to know, you will greatly hamper or at least slow down your trip to the top. Next, you have to assume the sale. And sales is important to maintain a sense of optimism and enthusiasm so these feelings can be transmitted to the customer. The best way to maintain these feelings is to assume that each and every customer will buy your product. Why should you assume this posture? There are several reasons. First, you shouldn't have any reason to think customers will not or cannot buy after you have qualified them. Again, making sure you qualify the prospect. After all, they have approached you regarding the product, or you thought enough of them to approach them about it. In other words, there's a definite reason why both of you are at the same place at the same time discussing the product. Secondly, all of us have been trained since we were babies to do what we were expected to do. Thus, if you expect people to buy something, you should be sure that they were programmed by their parents, their spouses, and their bosses long before you arrive on the scene to strongly consider buying simply because it is one more thing that somebody you expect of them. Closely associated with the push to do the expected is a desire to please. If a person were to buy your item, there's a possibility that two people will be pleased, you and the customer. If she does not buy, only one person will be pleased, the customer. Thirdly, you should assume people will buy so you will make a better, more complete, and compelling presentation. If you do not make this assumption, you will not only have a half-hearted presentation, but also more than likely accept rather than outcome of customer objections. Finally, you should assume the sale because you are a better salesperson than he or she. You see, In most sales discussions that go on for a length of time, both parties end up selling. The salesperson is selling the product, while the customer, if he or she is trying to back out of the deal, is selling the salesman on why the product is needed or wanted. The customer is probably not a professional salesperson. However, you are. You should assume that your selling skills will override those of the customers, especially as you learn how to use logic and emotion to make your points. So it is very, very important to assume the sale. Assuming the sale. Also, you do a good job, you want to get referrals. Eventually, you will have some customers with whom you will have a close relationship. They will be a key to your growth. If you satisfy them in all the ways that they seek, they will more than likely recommend you to their friends, relatives, and contacts. Even if they are not inclined to do so, it's up to you to pump them for such referrals. Most people know a couple of hundred other people at least, and you should see your customers as links to these other potential clients. Sometimes you may have to grease their palms with a few dollars to help them remember the name of a cousin who said he was looking for a similar item. But finder's fees are common practice in business circles, and one more sale today could lead to two more sales tomorrow. Paid referrals are usually an acceptable business practice, but check with your company's policies before you decide to use this tactic. You know, I give people a finder's fee. I mean, and that's if the person that they refer me to actually does business with me and actually spends money, then I give them a $25 referral fee. And that is, you know, that's been a good practice. It's worked well. It's helped me with getting new clients and new clientele. So remember, you are the salesperson. You know, you're supposed to know what you're selling to the person. So thus, as the book says, is Mr. And this book is Getting Black Folks to Sell by Mr. George Shabir, says that Your sales skills should be better than the customer's objection skills. And so you should be able to persuade them, because selling is the art of persuasion. Persuading them that what you have is what they need, what they want, what they desire, and what they could most definitely use. So you want to keep these tips in mind as you work on closing your sales and reaching your desired income thresholds in your sales business. This has been Baba Jahi this morning here on Home-Based Business 101 on Blog Talk Radio. We want to thank you for listening and tune in tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Ms. Victoria Falk will be on with the Passionate Travel radio show. And then tune in Friday with the Jasarius Love Show, as Cynthia Jahi will be sharing one of her topics concerning human relations and people getting along. Until next time, this has been Baba Jahi. God bless you. Have a beautiful and wonderful Sunday. And, hey, keep the faith, baby. Keep hope alive. Keep the faith. Do what you need to do to make the world a better place. Till next time, God bless you.